it's the Pocket Show at the Bash. I said, it's the Pocket Show at the Bash. Oh. Yeah, you all started drinking, I see. So I've got two of my regulars here, Camps and Alan. How you doing, Camps?
I'm good.
You're looking good.
Thank you very much. We'll save that for later.
Alan, how are you?
Here at the Fabulous Bash with Sunshine.
Oh, very nice. Well, we were going to look at what we were going to do, just cover a bit of news, but what we're going to do is, obviously this week, or last week, we couldn't work out which one it was the 10th anniversary of the iPhone. So if you want to do a quick poll, hold up if you've got an iPhone. Well, that's pretty overwhelming. Okay. A majority of people, more than people who are going to hold an Android and Windows phone, I think. an Android phone. A very small amount. A Windows phone. The smallest, but the loudest. Very nice. BlackBerry.
BlackBerry? Anyone?
No.
Anyone want to admit it? No.
No. Well, we could tell you get out if you had one anyway. Other? Yes. Yes, so we're going to come back to that. We're back. Oh, I didn't know Mr. Backwards had one too. Oh, okay. So, obviously it's the 10th anniversary of the iPhone. The iPhone pretty much changed the way smartphones are, the way we communicate, the things that we do. I got the original one. What's your first?
Four. Mine was the four.
And I'll ask Alan because he has never had one. What do you think, do you think the iPhone was revolutionary in how it's changed the way we communicate and the way that smartphones progressed? You guys have got the mic. You guys have got mics? Yeah? Anyone have an opinion?
I think one of the biggest changes, said the same on the Mac show yesterday when we were talking about it, is that the mobile companies stopped charging for things like IMAP and other things, which then let all the app developers develop interesting apps. And that was what I think the biggest change the iPhone made very quickly.
Because obviously they had that thing where they stopped that hold that the carriers had over over phone manufacturers, didn't they? So I think Steve Jobs went in and negotiated quite a good deal to say, we'll make the phone, you don't touch it. How many people got the original iPhone? Ah, so you went straight in. Yeah, I did. I got a second-hand one because it was on O2 at the time. I couldn't get one, so I got the iPod Touch when it came out because I wanted the functionality. But I was carrying around that and another phone, and it got to a point where I was going, do you know what? I'm just going to give in. I got a second-hand one from America. I absolutely loved it. So for those people who got the first iPhone, were you impressed straight away? Have those people got the mic? Yeah.
Yeah, we got three on the first day.
Three on the first day?
First on three. The company ordered them. We got three all delivered on the first day. And we'd been using things like Nokia N87s and Sony P600s. Complete change. It was like a whole different world. And the fact that my boss could use it almost straight out of the box was unbelievable.
Interesting point, Martin. So why? Me and Alan were talking a few minutes ago. So when you look at the first iPhone, and you think, right, straight out of the box, no app store. You look at the competitors out there, the N95, the N73 from Nokia, and other devices that had way more capacity and had an element of an app store. Why into iPhone?
Well, I think in our case, because we were an Apple company, being able to all the contacts, being able to update on the phone, your calendars, stuff like that, it just integrated into what we needed for the company. And being able to set appointments and have one common company contact list, for example, was just brilliant. And that was the difference. It was that, it, like they say, it worked. It was, all the other ones we had Blueberries, and trying to get them all connected to work and speak to one another and speak back to the system was, that was a full-time job.
Yeah.
So the one thing iPhone has done is put a lot of people out of work, I presume.
people like yourselves, a good thing. Okay. Yeah, because I suppose the thing was that when Steve Jobs first announced the iPhone, it was kind of everything on smartphones up to there was kind of baby internet, baby email, those sort of things. And then you got that full, that first, I wasn't that impressed with the iPod kind of thing, but when he did Safari on the iPhone, I was just like, this is the thing I want, because you wanted internet in your pocket.
Well, we found although there were only 2G when they first came out, the connection to the Safari was quicker than the Nokia 3Gs.
Really?
You'd flap around trying to get the connection, make it work. But again, you could, although it was slightly slower, you actually got through to where you wanted to look at much quicker. And you could read it, you know.
The
old Sony screen we used to have, it like this, you need a magnifying glass and the old toothpick to try and find where you're going. It's just, it seems so, so far back in history now that it we does, use that kind yeah. of stuff. You remember the tiny little keyboards where you're trying to flick your finger?
Yeah. I was watching the, I think this week I was watching the original announcement. And when he said, oh, it's got this enormous 3.5-inch screen. And you're like, yeah. And at the time, it did feel quite big, but they stuck with that form factor. And, you know, obviously a lot of people copied the iPhone, but the iPhone's copied other people as well. And the whole industry's been built around innovations from all companies, I think. And whether you've got a Windows phone or an Android, they all copy off each other now, which is a good thing because it helps people innovate and those sort of things. But I think without that dramatic change of the iPhone... and it doesn't seem like 10 years either, which is, just seems really weird.
I think the other point is that Steve Jobs recognised that you did need apps.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a year or so later when they actually brought the App Store out. And look at the change that's made of the myriad of apps that we have today.
Covering
every possible aspect you could possibly think of. So yeah. I think that has been the biggest breakthrough, that the apps have come on so far with every phone. But that was led by Apple.
Yeah, and because it also gave people the freedom to... release a thing that they wanted to release. And I think I watched that keynote as well. It was just the fact that they had this store that anyone with a developer account with, I think, £100 sign up or whatever could then have access to this. Obviously, Apple get their 30%, but there was no other way to distribute apps like that, because the way you did it before with either through CDs or, you know, downloads on the internet was still quite a... They weren't the biggest thing in the world, you know, Photoshop and all that sort of stuff you could download. But the small apps, and it was the price as well. Because, you know, you're used to paying, you know, £100 for an app, and then suddenly apps came out at, you know, £2-3. I think people were then more interested in investing in those things. You know, things like in-app purchases now and ads and stuff, they really annoy me, because there's so many games and stuff I want to play where they stick an ad in, I just want to pay them the money. Like, you know, instead of giving me a free app with in-app purchases, let me pay £5 to enjoy your game without you bugging me every 5 minutes to rate your app, review your app, or put an ad between every level. And there's no... I just love to... like this, I think there's a Sega... new Sega thing where you can get all of their old games. Yeah. And I think you do that, you pay $1.99 and all the ads go away. So you can play it for free and it all goes away. And if more people take that sort of thing on, I know they're talking about subscriptions and all those sort of things, I think it could get better, but at the moment it's still a bit of a mess.
And where would we be without Morning Motion games?
Well, yeah, well...
still there, I was just thinking...
Well, I had to install a second bathroom in my house because I was taking up it too long. Quite literally. She's like, what are you playing now? Aaron?
I quite clearly remember getting it 10 years ago. It was in Tottenham Court Road, and remember queuing to pick it up. But the first thing that got me was how more aesthetically pleasing than any other mobile phone on the market.
Oh, God, yeah.
And even now, when you look at the form factor of it, it was aluminium. It was just very, very attractive. And not only that, it took the place of the iPod. So you didn't have to carry your iPod and your phone around.
Yeah.
It was just one gadget in your pocket. And as a London commuter, that was very important.
I think you bang on right. I think for me, my transition, mine was the iPhone 4, the first one I went to. And I'd come off the Nokia N95 at the time. And the two drivers for me was replacing my iPod that I'd put through the washing machine, and the fact that I didn't need a separate sat-nav. Straight away, I had a sat-nav built into my phone, and my iPad was built into my phone. Everything was there. I could sync as I was used to doing. Therefore, N95, you're gone, and iPhone 4, I think it was on offer on 3. That's the one I'm going to go for, and that's the reason why. N95 had TomTom at an extortionate price back at that point, unless you hacked it on there, which I did.
Use the mic, Muller!
be interested to know how many people had an N95, because it does seem to be a popular upgrade.
So we've got 5 Nokia N95s.
More than currently Android in the room.
That's a really good point.
Muller.
I had two of them. I had the 16 gig one as well.
Oh, you flash gear.
That's my sexy voice.
Yes.
I wanted to add something to what he said. I think one thing people don't recognize today is the iPhone was actually, if you looked at it, harder to use, or people thought it was harder to use. It was a big complaint of people who didn't get the iPhone that, I mean, you needed, I don't know, 5 tabs to make a phone call instead of just pushing a button. Mm-hmm. What they didn't recognize is it was easier to understand. Basically, you could look at it and you would understand what was going on. I mean, email was more complicated. I mean, basically, the pro apps, email, calendar, phone, that most people said this is what a phone or a smartphone should do, they were harder to use. But for the normal customer, I mean, for even for us, it was easier to understand what to do. You just tapped it and it worked. And I think that was the big change that I mean, the iPhone brought that the others didn't get.
Yeah, it brought simplicity, but obviously you've got the springboard thing. You've got, you know, it looks, apart from the design change and a few tweaks here and there with, you know, Command Center and all those sort of things, it's still the same thing. Do you think that they need to, you know, up their game a bit in the way that Android has? Windows Phone was quite a good interface, even though it didn't do too well. Do you think that Apple needs to do a bit more, or do you think that simplicity is what sells it?
I think that simplicity is what sells it. I mean, you have to remember that. The people who can, I mean, who need more, who need a more complex, home screen even, those are probably most of us. But that's a smaller percentage of the overall, the other 90% basically of iPhone users. They want simplicity. I mean, you can give, you have kids. You can give an iPhone or an iPad to a kid. And they will instantly understand what to do. They tap things, they swipe, they get it. And I think that simplicity is it.
I agree. My 6-year-old daughter's been using an iPad for years now. And the day that she walked over to the TV and touched it and nothing happened, straight away it's what's going on here? What's going on here?
How many people do that? I mean, it has happened to me even, so.
I was going to say, I think one of the geniuses of the iPhone is that only Apple would do something so crazy as choosing to move us from more accurate resistive touchscreens to less accurate capacitive touchscreens, but that was needed so that we could move from stylus to finger. And I don't think there's many people that really want to go back to the day of touching their smartphones with having to pull a stylus out and lose a stylus to be able to use their phone properly or grow a specially pointed fingernail, which I guess some people did.
I think the fact that Alan's commented on iPhone is the last word. I think we need to leave that there. We need to move right on.
Okay, well, I'm going to hand back to Alan because Alan's got a couple of things to talk about. One's a little Easter egg surrounding the iPhone, which may surprise you. Alan.
I've been doing my research, so... well, on that topic, we'll come a bit further. But apparently, according to my research, Apple likes to make their actual new product announcements about 40 minutes into their keynote presentations. For the original iPhone, they were aiming for 40 minutes, and apparently... originally, the iPhone was announced at 42 minutes into the presentation. The iPad, they got a bit more tight on their timing, 41 minutes into the presentation. A lot of Apple screenshots, you will notice, will have 9:41 as the time on the screen. And that's because they like to try and get the time on the screen to be the time that they actually get to the announcement in the keynote. That's picky, but, you know, I guess you're not surprised from Apple. But, yes, so...
Was that not the time the actual iPhone was announced?
The actual time the iPhone was announced was apparently 9:42, but then the iPad was 9:41, and since then they've normally adopted 9:41 as a more common number. But, yeah, so... shall I roll straight on to next one? So... I have an announcement and a challenge for the assembled British Tech Network posse. If you can convince me, I am considering that my next phone might be an Android.
Whoa!
Well, okay. If the iPhone can manage to meet my criteria, then let's allow it into the competition. But you know,
I might just drop this, mate. Actually.
So, I'm not going to make it easy for you guys.
So what's your criteria?
So my criteria are, I'm looking for something that is around 200 quid off contract. I want a decent camera that ideally needs to match or exceed the Lumia 930, 20 megapixel optically stabilized. I would like QI wireless charging because I've got loads of that around the house. And that's probably reasonable battery life. Is there any phones out there that can take on that challenge? Otherwise, I may well be going to a Lumia 950, which I can get a grade A secondhand for 165 quid.
Bye. Looks like the Lumia then.
But surely Android has got something half decent in the...
That was in the days when I got Android phones. I had about 2 years experimenting with Android, and I'm back on the iPhone now. So there's got to be loads of Android phones that would match that now.
You would think so. So, you know, that's my challenge to the assembled group is, can I have some recommendations for a mid-range Android that's got a decent enough camera to not necessarily exceed, but at least be in the same ballpark as a 930? As I say, QI wireless charging, I don't mind if that's an aftermarket add-on, because that's a bit more niche.
Are you prepared to pay what for it?
Around 200 off contract.
Good God. That's cheap.
Yeah, but you know, when it's up against... Okay.
That's a good phone.
G4.
Motorola G4.
Okay. It's going on the list.
Sony Xperia ES.
Why?
Well, the Motorola is quite a good phone, isn't it? So. Yeah. I've had one Motorola and it was all right. The camera's okay. Looks nice.
Okay. And as I say, you were trying to throw a Sony in there.
Sony Xperia E5. Probably the Sony, they put loads of rubbish on, don't they, though? They load it with stupid apps. Samsung Galaxy A3?
Oh, the A3, I think that's... I'm not expecting to get much more than smudges out of the camera on an A3, I would have thought, but...
LG? So X?
Yeah.
It looks like it. Yeah.
The
level of... I was hoping for a bit more of a level of research than the first thing off Google.
But Xperia XA, according to Mr. Batwinch.
XA. Xperia XA. Okay.
I think you need to go to £300. You bring more in.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm willing to consider what extra I get for me, you know, extra 50%.
Nokia 3310.
Hey. Now,
two
shockingly,
camera. It's not too bad.
Shockingly, that may have less apps than my current Windows Mobile.
No way.
Right. Okay.
Right. So you're all fans of your favourite phone. So a little bit of a challenge for you and a game and a chance to win one of our fantastic prizes. From the bag of mystery. So, the first challenge for you is to whip out your smartphone, take a picture of us, handsome group, and show us. So, ready? And ready? And you got to bring it over, run over to us. No, not. Get out. Are you ready?
Put your hats on. Okay.
Three, two, it's your fingers, Muller. You lose, you're out. Oh, this is showing how slow smartphones can be. Oh, Muller's in, Aaron's in. Oh, God, look good there, didn't I? Yeah, back wenches in. Oh, yeah. Oh, it looks good on there. Oh, yes. Oh, very nice. Yeah. I'm just reading your message on that screen. Oh. What the? Well, you're right. Yeah. Too slow, too slow. Ah, no. You took too long. No, you're definitely out for that one. Okay, we're gonna try again. Try on your phones. So, we all know personal assistants are rubbish on phones. So, what we want you to do is to ask your personal assistant, what is the British Tech Network, and show us a valid answer on your screen. Yes! 3, 2, 1, go!
What is the British Tech Network?
This makes awesome audio. Oh, yeah.
Well, you knew it's coming. Oh, Aaron wins! Oh, easy. Ian Lewis, yeah. Two iPhones, anyone?
The British Tech Network.
Any competitors? Oh, Windows Phone has it.
And iPhone. Windows
Phone
has it.
Yeah. No, Siri's on.
All Windows.
Yeah. Ah. Oh. Straight to the website. Oh, that. I like that.
Google Assistant.
Yeah, Google. Oh, you couldn't get to it. Google wins. Oh, okay.
Which phone do I use it on?
Yeah. Oh. Well, it must be an accent thing because I couldn't get it to bloody do it. I don't apparently. Well, Norfolk. Yeah, well, I was going to put that at the end, round off, yeah. So, one other question. How many people here have used a contactless payment with their phone? Today? Oh, yeah, today, yeah.
Oh. In their home nation.
Yeah, Patrice. Well... Well, from all of that, I think Mr. Claydon was definitely the winner there. Fastest, best picture. I look gorgeous. Please, let's place our hat. Right. Okay. Ready? I'm going in. I'm not looking. What have we got here? Oh, what is that? Lazy garlic.
Why is it?
Put it back. Oh, no lazy garlic. All right, it's going to be a better one, okay. Fill for time, boys. Dance. Fill for time. Okay. What is this? A useless toy car. Oh, mate. Now, we're going to round off because there's a special phone here today. Batwench with the 3310 is here. There's two here. Miss Batwench has one. And she's just going to give us a quick overview of what she thinks. Go, girl.
That won't be quick.
Oh, shut up. Right. I have managed to get hold of a 3310. They are quite trying to get thing. And I actually quite like it. It does what a phone's meant to do. You can phone on it or text it. Although I'm having problems with the tech. Oh, the security's great. Press the thing. Do you want to unlock it? Yeah, go on then. It's unlocked.
Nice.
And we have discovered I'm still shit at Snake.
So am I.
Yeah, you played it last night. Language. I'm still dire at Snake.
That's all right, I can edit.
Yeah, I was going to say that. The only thing I have a problem with it is the contacts. You can only have one name, one contact to one name. So for Mr. Batwench, when his many different phones, I've got four different contact numbers for you and four different listings. It's the only downside I have.
Sexy,
and the
sexy Drew, business Drew, bondage Drew,
cupboard Drew.
Yeah.
Apparently, this is meant to be red. No, it's not. It's coral pink. I'd say that was coral pink, but other than that, I actually really quite like it. I'm so tempted to put my main sim back in this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have you charged it again yet? I've given it a boost this morning, and it's been on, most of this week. And where I work, I don't get a good, because this has got a Vodafone sim signal in it. I don't have much Vodafone, and it doesn't suck it up. So I will say the battery life is actually quite good. But I do really, really, really like it. It's very hipster right now.
Yes. What's the web like? Oh, God.
It does actually have an app store. It has an Opera app store.
Go on. Give me an app.
I don't know. It's a game. I haven't loaded it down yet.
Oh.
It says pay-as-you-go. I'm a cheap ass. Hold on. Menu.
It's got internet, Google, Amazon, Games, eBay, BBC News.
What more could you want?
God.
Doesn't have a link to the British Tech Network page, though.
Screw them, then.
Just check it. No.
Oh, God.
It comes with a free AOL disk.
Apparently has Facebook. So... you can't swipe. Although I have got fingers because I'm so used to, you know what you're saying about the kids. Occasionally I do this going, no, I can't do it. But yeah, I'm very, very tempted to put this as my main phone again.
Oh, thank you very much.
I do love it.
Bless you. Well, thank you very much to Camps.
Thank you.
And to Alan.
Thank you.
And thank you. And that was Boxo at the Bash.
Yay! Well done, Roy.